China trying to assert, understandably, a new role in the world as a world leader, not showing up. Come on.
U.S. President Joe Biden comments on the absence of China and Russia at COP26. It's Thursday, November 4th, and this is VOA Asia. I'm Amy Heibels in Washington. You can also find us online at VOA Asia Facebook, Instagram, Twitter, and YouTube. Also ahead, an Asian American woman elected as mayor in the U.S. city of Boston, a first. Australian lobster producers find ways into restricted Chinese market. How virtual reality is helping seniors. Science in a minute, and the controversy over healing crystals. It's all in today's VOA Asia. U.S. President Joe Biden announced ambitious climate commitments at the United Nations Climate Change Conference, also known as COP26 in Scotland. He also singled out China and Russia. Both countries have aimed to cut emissions to net zero by 2060, a decade after the global target. VOA's White House correspondent Patsy Wadakaswara has more from Glasgow.
Stopping deforestation and restoring 200 million hectares of forests and other ecosystems by the year 2030, backed by close to $20 billion in public and private funding. That's the pledge made by more than 100 world leaders at COP26, the UN climate conference in Glasgow, Scotland. Brazilian President Jair Bolsonaro spoke via video link.
Assumimos o compromisso de eliminar.
We are committed to eliminating illegal deforestation by 2030. I call on every country to help defend all forests, including with adequate resources for the benefit of all.
Methane emissions coming mainly from industries such as oil, gas, and coal will also be slashed. Leaders committed to cut levels 30% by 2030 under the Global Methane Pledge, an initiative pushed by the U.S. and European Union. EU Commission President Ursula von der Leyen.
Cutting back on methane emissions is one of the most effective things we can do to reduce near-term global warming and keep 1.5 degrees Celsius. It is the lowest hanging fruit.
With prospects for his climate legislation uncertain in Congress, U.S. President Joe Biden unveiled a series of domestic initiatives to support the deforestation and methane pledge. He slammed China and Russia for not doing their part.
But the fact that China, trying to assert, understandably, a new role in the world as a world leader, not showing up, come on. The single most important thing that's gotten the attention of the world is climate, everywhere, from Iceland to Australia. It just is a gigantic issue, and they've walked away. How do you do that and claim to be able to have any leadership mantle? The same with Putin and Russia.
China and Russia reject the accusation and say Western industrialized nations are the ones who need to do more, since they are responsible for most of the greenhouse gases in the atmosphere today. Both countries have aimed to cut emissions by net zero by 2060, but they did commit to end deforestation. Russian President Vladimir Putin.
Take the strongest and most vigorous measures to conserve it. We improve forest management and fight illegal logging and forest fires. We are expanding reforestation areas. We have been consistently increasing funding for these purposes.
Climate activists welcome the commitments but are still skeptical. Joe Blackman from the group Global Witness.
This is the problem with a lot of these commitments. There is an accountability gap. Governments made similar pledges in 2014 with the New York Declaration on Forests, but they didn't lead to anywhere near the progress that was expected.
COP26 negotiations will continue until November 12th, but one major proposal, ending coal dependency, was dead on arrival. At the G20 summit in Rome last week, leaders of the 20 largest economies could not agree on when to phase out this dirty source of energy that accounts for more than 70% of greenhouse emissions. Patsy Wadakaswara, VOA News, Glasgow, Scotland.
You can read more on our top story by following our Twitter stream at VOA Asia. We're also on Facebook, VOA Asia, and the VOAnews.com website. These are among the top Asia headlines you'll find right now on VOAnews.com. U.S. blacklists four foreign companies for malicious cyber activities. China, Russia urge UN Security Council to lift economic sanctions on North Korea. Pakistan to allow banned Islamist group to contest votes to end clashes. Winter relief flight for thousands of Afghans lands in Kabul. And Thailand reopens borders for tourists. Caution still remains. Additional coverage of these stories and more are on Facebook at VOA Asia, Instagram, Twitter, and on the VOANews.com website. VOA Asia continues. African nations at the COP26 summit have criticized rich countries for failing to meet their promise of giving billions of dollars to help them cope with climate change. But agreements to protect rainforests and slash methane emissions were welcomed, as Henry Ridgewell reports from the conference in Glasgow, Scotland for VOA.
The world's wealthiest nations, the G20, account for 80% of greenhouse gas emissions. But scientists say poorer countries, particularly in Africa, are suffering the worst impacts of climate change. Rich nations pledged in 2009 to give developing countries $100 billion a year to help them deal with climate change. But the target date has been put back to 2023. At the COP26 summit Tuesday, African leaders voiced their anger.
Those same nations are, however, insisting that we abandon the opportunity for rapid development of our economies. That would be tantamount to enshrining in the global community inequality of the highest order.
Their appeals failed to shift the timetable, but the frustration was tempered by progress on other vital climate emergencies. Over 100 nations agreed to end deforestation by 2030, backed by close to $20 billion in public and private funding. The signatories included Brazil. Deforestation has increased in the Amazon under Brazilian President Jair Bolsonaro to its highest level in a decade, and some are skeptical of his pledge.
Mas isso não vai resolver o problema.
It won't solve social problems in our community where there is no water, where there is deforestation, where there is a river contamination. These are investments that will only give free rein to companies to keep their polluting.
Over 100 countries also signed a global methane pledge to cut emissions by 30% by 2030. Methane is 80 times more potent than carbon dioxide in driving global warming.
It's an incredibly important progress in addressing the climate crisis because we can now think about methane emissions separately from CO2 and recognizing that reduction of methane represents an enormous lever for making progress in reducing the rate of warming.
China and Russia, two of the world's biggest methane emitters, did not sign.
There may be no big breakthrough on cutting overall emissions at this summit, but organisers say the targeted agreements on protecting rainforests, cutting methane, or protecting vulnerable island states all add up to significant progress.
The absence of the Chinese, Russian, and Brazilian presidents has led to questions over how effective the summit will be in curbing global warming. Host British Prime Minister Boris Johnson said he was cautiously optimistic. World leaders have now returned home. Their teams of negotiators will now decide the fate of the summit. And many scientists say the future of planet Earth. Henry Ridgewell for VOA News at the COP26 summit, Glasgow.
Still ahead on VOA Asia, voters in the U.S. city of Boston for the first time elect an Asian American woman as mayor. Happening now in Asia, rights groups in Kuala Lumpur submitted a memorandum to Parliament in protest of the impending execution in Singapore for drug trafficking of a Malaysian man with intellectual disabilities. Stay up to date with VOA. You're listening to VOA Asia. We're so glad you decided to spend time with us today on VOA Asia. Voters in the northeastern U.S. city of Boston for the first time elected an Asian American woman as mayor, choosing city councilor Michelle Wu to serve in the city's top political office. Wu defeated a fellow Boston city councilor on Tuesday after the two Democrats defeated other mayoral hopefuls in a September preliminary election.
I want to be clear. It wasn't my vision on the ballot. It was ours. Together. Over 10 years in City Hall and in every neighborhood, connecting with all of our residents, I've seen and experienced just how big an impact local government makes in people's lives. And I'll never stop fighting to make our systems work for all of us. So let's celebrate tonight, and tomorrow we'll continue the work together. Thank you, everyone.
Wu, the daughter of Taiwanese immigrants, grew up in Chicago, only moving to Boston to attend Harvard University and Harvard Law School. Wu's victory marks a new era for Boston, a city that typically elects mayors with lifelong Boston roots. Be sure to read and see more on this story at VOA Asia Facebook. In other U.S. news, the first shots of the Pfizer vaccine for kids 5 to 11 going into arms. The doses coming after the CDC director gave the final green light following an advisory panel's unanimous vote to recommend the shots for pediatric use. Dan Lieberman has the story.
From Hartford, Connecticut, to Dallas County, Texas, the first COVID vaccines for children administered overnight, a line of kids eagerly awaiting their turn.
They were talking about going to school tomorrow and telling their friends that they got it. So really kind of ready to get out there and get protected.
Local pharmacies getting ready. Another 28 million Americans now able to get vaccinated after the CDC officially fully recommended the Pfizer shot for 5 to 11-year-olds Tuesday night, adding to the previous recommendations for anyone 12 and older to receive the vaccine.
A total of 14 yeses, zero noes, and so the motion passes.
The CDC director, Rochelle Walensky, giving her final recommendation. Kids will get just a third of the adult dose amount. Studies found the vaccine to be nearly 91% effective in preventing symptomatic illness in young children, with only mild and temporary side effects like a sore arm, headaches, or fever, and no cases of myocarditis, that rare heart inflammation seen in some young men. But despite promising trial results, a recent poll taken before authorization shows 63% of parents either refuse to get their kids vaccinated or plan to wait. CDC modeling suggests that vaccinating children could reduce COVID transmission overall in the U.S. by 8% between now and next March, an estimated reduction of about 600,000 potential cases.
Children are going to be able to get their lives back, be able to get back to school, back to in-person learning, back to be around their friends. And this is a huge win, not only for public health, but in terms of mental health as well.
Vaccines will start becoming available around the country each day. The White House COVID team says the program to vaccinate kids will be fully operational by next week, with some 15 million doses expected to ship before then. Dan Lieberman, ABC News, New York.
VOA Asia is on Twitter. Follow us at VOA Asia for developing stories in Asia, perhaps close to you. Our Twitter feed also has updates on programs you can hear and see, with links to easily find them. VOA Asia Twitter, we're always online for you.
This news from VOA Asia. Yahoo says it has pulled out of China, citing an increasingly challenging operating environment and heavy censorship. Yahoo is the latest foreign tech company to exit China, following Google and Microsoft. All the big stories come your way through the day on VOA Asia Twitter and Facebook. This is VOA Asia. VOA Asia continues. Industry statistics appear to show that lobster producers in Australia are selling millions of dollars worth of the crustaceans to China, despite Beijing's unofficial trade restrictions. Experts say fishing companies are taking advantage of so-called gray channels. From Sydney, Phil Mercer reports for VOA.
In November, China imposed what experts said was an unofficial ban on Australian lobster imports. The trade was worth hundreds of millions of dollars. China had been buying more than 90% of lobsters exported from Australia. However, figures released by the organisation representing a major Australian lobster producer have shown a sharp rise in exports due to what's known as grey trade. The term refers to the selling of goods through indirect and unofficial channels. The Western Rock Lobster Council, an organisation that represents the lobster industry in Western Australia, has reported that exports from Western Australia to Hong Kong rose from very low levels in October 2020 to more than 300 metric tons in March 2021. Experts believe the consignments were almost certainly shipped and sold in mainland China. Restrictions on Australian lobster exports to China are part of the simmering trade dispute between the two countries, which has also affected shipments of Australian coal, wine, barley and other commodities. China has imposed restrictions and tariffs on these goods. Jeffrey Wilson is an international commerce expert at the Perth US Asia Centre, a research think tank. He says the grey trade in lobsters would be mainly controlled by importers in China, who are keen on circumventing Chinese government restrictions.
The reason that you're getting a grey trade happening in lobsters and not in coal or not in barley is it reflects it's one area where there was almost complete mutual interdependence. Australia completely relied on China for the market for lobsters, and China completely relied on Australia for the supply of them.
Wilson says unlike goods traded in the so-called black market, operating in the shadows, which might have some aspect of illegality, grey market sales may operate outside official channels, but don't break the law.
This is not illegal, is the first thing to say. So that's probably the reason it's not a black market, because there is nothing illegal about sending lobsters to Hong Kong.
There has been no official comment from the Australian government or the Western Rock Lobster Council. China is Australia's biggest trading partner. The important commercial relationship has been destabilised in recent years due to various geopolitical disputes. Australia's call last year for an independent investigation into the origins of COVID-19, which was first detected in China, infuriated Beijing. Also, Canberra's increasingly close military ties with the United States have angered Chinese authorities. Phil Mercer for VOA News, Sydney.
Making headlines in Asia, police in Thailand have announced the arrest of the head of a company suspected of cheating overseas buyers of millions of dollars they paid for undelivered medical rubber gloves during the coronavirus pandemic. Stay up to date with VOA. You're listening to VOA Asia. Now on VOA Asia, in tech news, virtual reality tailored to the experiences of seniors, military veterans, and those suffering from chronic pain is helping people feel better. VOA's Dina Mitchell has the story for VOA.
Sitting in a nursing facility day after day can be very lonely. Jessica Benson witnessed this for decades after her mother suffered a debilitating brain aneurysm at 48. When Benson first experienced virtual reality, a light bulb went off.
Let them go to, Maui on Monday, Tahiti on Tuesday, and just kind of build activities around it. So that was my goal.
Benson, who has worked in education and sales, researched how to make her idea work and now provides kits to nursing homes that include a VR headset and content that she has licensed or created specifically for clients, many who are aging military veterans.
We were able to take them to Washington, D.C. to see the war memorials, and the reactions were so profound.
With their VR headsets on, she and a Korean War veteran who had long stopped speaking and interacting visited memorials. After the virtual trip, she asked him what branch he served with.
And he looked straight at me with his eyes locked on mine, and he said, Marines.
But Benson says VR is for more than just visiting places. It can also help with pain relief. Skip Rizzo, who has studied medical uses of VR at the University of Southern California, agrees.
for managing acute pain, distracting a person or giving them something to occupy their mind with leads to substantial reductions in the perception of pain. You put somebody in a VR headset and they're occluded from the outside world. But more than that, in VR, you're engaging their attention.
Rizzo says VR can be used to teach mindfulness and relaxation strategies, which can help with chronic pain. It's a service Immersive Care offers.
So we have things like swimming with dolphins, mindfulness and guided meditation, and then relaxation, sitting by a beach or walking in the woods, just things that will calm them.
A virtual escape and peaceful experience for those who need it the most. Dina Mitchell for VOA News.
This is Science in a Minute.
The NASA ESA Hubble Space Telescope is again operating in its safe mode, and its science operations have been suspended. The U.S. Space Agency reassures that Hubble's instruments are healthy, but it will remain in safe mode while those in charge of its mission continue to investigate technical issues. This is the third time this year that Hubble was forced to enter its safe mode. NASA says mission controllers received error codes sent by Hubble's science instruments on October 23rd. The controllers reset the instruments, and the space telescope was back online within a few hours. But Hubble went back into safe mode when operators again received error codes on October 25th. Hubble also went into safe mode for nearly a month this past summer. I'm VOA's Rick Pantaleo.
Years, the so-called healing crystals trend has resurfaced in the wellness industry, even though the stones have no scientifically proven health benefits. Karina Befragin has the story for VOA.
Becky Waddell is the owner of Take Care Boutique, a store that sells cosmetics and spa products in Washington, D.C. She says that for a long time she had treated her love for semi-precious stones purely as a hobby, until she realized crystals have become a part of the beauty industry.
After a while, a few clients had mentioned, oh, I wish that you had crystals here. And I was like, okay, sounds great.
Crystals have long been on the fringe of the wellness industry, but they've gotten a boost from the pandemic. Waddell says she's working to meet demand because interest in crystal therapy keeps growing. But doctors are skeptical and say there is no evidence crystals actually help.
There's no scientific evidence to show that healing crystals can help in any way with treating illnesses, diseases. But I do think that there is room for people to have faith in certain things that can increase their positivity and their own mental health. And by increasing your mental, like increasing your resilience to mental health and also just your general happiness, you can also boost your immune system. So is it from the healing crystals? No. Does it have to always come from healing crystals? No. It can come from so many different things in our life, right? It can come from spending time with our loved ones. It can come from exercising.
Crystals also come with political issues. Despite the fact that mining for healing crystals takes place in about a quarter of U.S. states, most of them are imported. A number of deposits are in Afghanistan where no safety measures are in place for those who mine the semi-precious stones. According to Global Witness, a human rights organization, every year Afghanistan gets roughly $20 million from sales of blue malachite. Tim McDonald, a reporter for Quartz, says the profits from selling Afghan blue malachite go straight to the Taliban.
To the extent that the Taliban is the current government of Afghanistan and, you know, revenue from mineral resources, flows into the treasury of that country, then I suppose, yes, that would be supporting the Taliban. And I think that, it's a question for anyone who wants to, any company that wants to work in this space.
And though some collectors are on the fence about the ethics of buying Afghan-produced crystals, experts and sellers believe that the demand isn't expected to drop anytime soon, thanks to COVID-19. Karina Befredjian for VOA News, Washington.
You have been listening to VOA Asia. Be sure to like us on Facebook, VOA Asia. Follow us on Twitter at VOA Asia. You can also find us on Instagram and YouTube and at voanews.com. Thank you for joining us, and thanks to our service chief, Diane Gao. Our VOA Asia team includes Keith Lane, Chris Coscao, Jessica Stone, and Jim Stevenson. I'm Amy Heibels in Washington. Now go and make it a great day.